the world tomorrow. Herbert W. Armstrong, bringing you the plain truth about today's world news and the prophecies of the world tomorrow.
Well, greetings, friends. This is Herbert W. Armstrong with the good news of the world tomorrow. But there's trouble breaking out all over the world today. You only read bad news today. We're going to have to skip over the present bad news, which is going to get worse, incidentally, until it comes to the place where God Almighty has to intervene to save us from ourselves and to prevent humanity from blasting humanity off the face of this planet. And then at last we're going to have world peace when God enforces His laws on the world, laws that were given to make us happy, laws that were given to bring us peace, and there is no other way to peace. Do you know why the great statesman can't bring us peace? Do you know why war doesn't end war and why we have no peace? It's because the way to peace is the law of God. Now the ministers of state, the diplomats and the politicians don't know anything about it in the first place, and most of the ministers deny it. You're going to see something about that in just a little while. Well, if you are reading the news magazines, and I was mentioning, I think, in the preceding broadcast, that it's very vital that you do. Almost one-third of your Bible is devoted to telling and foretelling what is going to happen in the next 20 years. Why do you neglect it? That is a dynamic thing. It's the biggest seller in the world. You have a Bible around. Why are we ashamed of it? Why do we look on it as a sissy book of some kind? Why do we think, well, you know, I don't know, how do you think about it? Why are you bored with it? It's the most interesting, vital thing that there is. You can know what's behind today's world news if you understand the prophecies and if you understand the purpose being worked out here below. And so, if you're going to escape the troubles that are coming, it is absolutely vital that you be watching and that you know what is prophesied and that you watch world news. And the best place to watch it, in addition to newscasts and the broadcasts of news analysts and the front pages of your newspapers, is in the weekly news magazines. Because it's all there, my friends. And we've come to the time when God's time has come to reveal the hidden secrets of revealing the future. Do you know that about one-third of the whole Bible, the greatest seller on earth, the world's greatest seller of all books, and about one-third is devoted to prophecy and 90% of that to the present and the immediate future of 5, 10, 20 years from now? I wonder if you realize that. Things are not going to go the way you think. They aren't going to go the way our politicians think. That sounds preposterous to you, doesn't it? No, I'm not crazy, and God Almighty isn't either that has revealed this. But a lot of people on this earth that don't know what it all means and what it's all about and what is the real meaning back of the things that are going on this earth, maybe they better examine their minds and see whether they're just a little bit off their rocker or not, because you can really know the truth, and you're going to see it all happen. You need to be watching what's going on in the world, and you need to be reading that one-third of the Bible that is so neglected that you scarcely ever hear preached about, that tells you why we're having the kind of conditions we are in the world today. What is the meaning of the news that you hear in your newscasts and your telecasts and that you read in your newspapers? What does it all mean? Where are we headed? Where are we going? I've been going through one of these specific prophecies, Jeremiah, one of the major prophets. We've been in the 23rd chapter of Jeremiah, where a woe is pronounced on the pastors, the ministers of the churches in our Western world today. And this is a prophecy for our day. Woe to the pastors that destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, says the Eternal. They have been scattered into literally hundreds and hundreds of different and differing denominations. And God lays the cause at the doorstep of the ministers, the leaders, the pastors. The lay members didn't cause it. The pastors did. The ones in charge and the ones who are the shepherds of the flock, the ones who are the leaders, they lead them off. The sheep follow. So a new leader rises up and he wants a following of his own, so he pulls off and Perhaps half of the flock pulls off with him, maybe a third, maybe two-thirds. And then there's a split and a new denomination is formed. And so we have all kinds of sects and denominations, hundreds of them. You have scattered my flock, says God, and driven them away, and have not visited them. Behold, God says, I will visit upon you the evil of your doing, saith the Eternal. And now this Eternal speaking is the one that was the Logos, known as the spokesman for God, the one that was made flesh. And we came to know him as a human by the name of Jesus, Jesus of Nazareth, Jesus the Messiah, Jesus the Christ. He has been resurrected, he has been glorified, and is very God, and is worthy of the worship of the angels, as you read in the first chapter of Hebrews today. And he is at the right hand of God the Father in heaven. But this is the one whom the heavens have received until the times of restitution of all things, as you read in the third chapter of the book of Acts. And then he's coming again to rule all nations. And he says, I will gather the remnant of my flock. Now he's speaking of something that's going to happen in your lifetime. And I will, says God here, and this was Christ, however, gather the remnant of my flock, and that's Christ who will do it at his second coming, out of all the countries whither I have driven them, and will bring them again to their folds. And I will set up shepherds over them which shall feed them, and they shall fear no more, nor be dismayed, neither shall they be lacking, says the Eternal. He says that he will set up shepherds over them. Who are to be those shepherds? I wonder if you ever read and if you understand what Jesus Christ, the same Jesus Christ, said back here in the book of Revelation, where he's speaking to those in his church, not in the churches of this world, not in the churches of this world, but in his true church. He says, he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, in our time now, to him will I give power over the nations, and he shall rule them. Now again, he says, he rule them with a rod of iron. Then again, in the third chapter of Revelation, in the 21st verse, in the message to his church in one of its eras, the Laodicean era, to him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, and he is coming to inherit his father's throne, that of King David, in Jerusalem, Palestine, where he'll be the King of Kings, ruling over all of the nations of the earth. And he says that we can sit with him in his throne, as he says, I also overcame, did overcome, and am now set down with my Father in his throne, which is up in heaven where Christ is now at the present time. Now, I just turned across the page here in my Bible, and I find that here are the 20 elders and four living creatures, and singing a new song, and saying in their praises, in this song of praise to Christ, that thou art worthy to take the book. Christ is the only one worthy to take this book of prophecy and open it up to our understanding. The book that gives you the time sequence, joining together all of the prophecies of the Bible that fill a third of the whole Bible. Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us, now this is Christians that are redeemed by and through the blood of Christ, hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. Now the earth is going to be full of the knowledge of the Eternal, as the prophet Isaiah writes in the 11th chapter, and I read that in the preceding program. The earth will be full of the knowledge of God. And then at last we're going to have world peace when God enforces his laws on the world, laws that were given to make us happy, laws that were given to bring us peace, and there is no other way to peace. Well, now, let's skip on now to the 25th chapter. As we go through this one prophecy of Jeremiah, the word that came to Jeremiah concerning the people of Judah. Now he gets back to a prophecy pertaining to the people of Judah 600 years before Christ. But a little later in this chapter, he comes to something that ought to shake and jar you because it's for this entire world, and it's something you're going to see happen in your lifetime. So let's listen. Here first he starts talking to the people of Judah. However, the principle of it is the same. God doesn't change. God has a certain character. God carries on the universe because he is the real ruler of it according to certain principles. And he never deviates. He never changes. The word that came to Jeremiah concerning the people of Judah, that's the Jewish people, 600 years before Christ, in the fourth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah of Judah, and in the first year of Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon. Now, this was in Nebuchadnezzar's first year, and it was Nebuchadnezzar's second year, was it not? I believe that he invaded Palestine. So this is just about a year before the blow struck. That which Jeremiah the prophet spake unto all the people of Judah and to all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, saying. Now listen, while this is not just dead history alone, because God, as I say, deals in certain principles, and God has certain laws in effect, and he never changes and he never deviates. So we need to listen. From the 13th year of Josiah the son of Ammon, king of Judah, even to this day, that is the 23rd year, the word of the Eternal has come to me, says Jeremiah, and I have spoken to you, he says to the Jewish people, rising early and speaking, but you have not hearkened. Now, one of the significant parts of this is that while God sent a prophet, he wasn't a great imposing man. He was not the greatest man in the nation by any means. I suppose you think if God would send a prophet like Jeremiah or Isaiah or Ezekiel or any of those prophets here today, or if he would send a prophet like Elijah or someone like that here today, that it would be some great, massive person, oh, at least 7 or 7.5 feet tall, wearing about a size 8 or 10 hat, and with long flowing hair, and the type of a man that would almost paralyze you if you'd look at him. He would be so awe-inspiring because he would be so terrifically impressive. You think that's the kind of man that God chooses? Did you ever read how he chose David to be king over Israel? When the prophet went out to select the king for Israel, David's father brought out one of his older sons that really he thought was capable of being a pretty big man. He looked important and carried a lot of dignity and a lot of weight and impressed people. No, that wasn't the man. Well, then he brought the next best and the next best and so on. Finally, all that was left was just a little shepherd boy out there, and he didn't even think it was worth bringing him. But that was David, and that was the one God chose. And if you've ever read it, it says that God doesn't choose like men do. God doesn't look at the outward appearance. Not this outward impressive appearance. God looks on the heart. And you read in the scripture that David was a man after God's own heart. And so, my friends, Jeremiah was not anyone impressive, and the people didn't pay any attention to him. He says, you have not hearkened, in modern language, you have not listened, you didn't pay any attention. And the Eternal has sent unto you all his servants, the prophets, rising early and sending them, but you have not hearkened, nor inclined your ear to hear. My friends, how many of you will listen today? How many of you incline your ear to hear? How many of you pay any attention? You're in this maelstrom of modern chaotic conditions in this world. You've grown so accustomed to it. You're so calloused by it. Nothing can arouse you. Nothing can awaken you. Now can it? You I'm talking to. Can anything arouse you? Can you realize that this world is just ready to be on fire and to blow up? Can you realize it means you and your life and your children? Are you concerned? Oh, no, you just go about your daily business just the same way you always did, seeking your pleasures. As it was in the days of Noah, they went about seeking their own pleasures, marrying and giving in marriage and all that sort of thing. So shall it be in these days, so said Jesus Christ himself. Just as it was in the days when Jeremiah was warning Judah. And this thing came on them and they were destroyed a year later. Well, I'm not telling you it's going to happen next year, a year later. I'm telling you it's coming inside of about 20 years or less, and I think maybe you'd better be frightened within less than that, about 15 years, although I can't set a date. I'm telling you, you'd better begin to heed. I'm telling you, you'd better blow the dust off your Bible. You'd better wake up and be a little bit concerned about this thing, because you're living in perilous times such as no other nation has ever lived in, and no other people in any time since the foundation of this world. If God would send Jeremiah, you think, oh, well, if he'd send Jeremiah, we would listen. Is that so? God is using my voice to warn you, but you don't listen. They didn't listen then. He had sent all these prophets, and they said, turn you again now, everyone, from his evil way. That's his own way. However, my friends, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, the end thereof are the ways of death. The evil way that God says to turn from is the way that looks right to the people. It was then they thought that way was right. And the way that I have to tell you to turn from today is the customs of the people that are vain, the ways that seem right to you, the ways that the people are going that are approved by modern society, but are not approved by God, the ways that are bringing you so many heartaches, so many headaches, and all of the frustrations, and all of the discouragements, and all of the pain, and the aches, and the suffering that you people are suffering. It's bringing it on you. And all of your fears and your worries and everything else. And so I say to you now today, turn again, every one of you, from your evil way and the evil way that all humanity is going today. Are you listening? Yeah, but I don't think you're heeding very much, very frankly. And I mean you, not the person next to you. And so these ancient prophets said, and dwell in the land that the eternal God has given unto you, and to your fathers forever and ever, if they would turn from their evil way, and everything would go well with them. And go not after other gods to serve them. You think we don't go after other gods and serve them today. And yet I'm pointing out to you continually on this very program the things that you're doing that God says is serving other gods. But oh, it's regarded as Christianity today. Why? The most respectable people approve a lot of these things. It's supposed to be your Christian religion, but it isn't real Christianity, my friends, and it's about time you wake up. I don't care how impressive the preacher, I don't care how impressive the speaker, I don't care how impressive they are, when they try to ridicule the truth of God and to turn you into the customs of the people and the ways that God says are vain, you're being deceived. This whole world is deceived. This whole world is drunk today on the false wine that has emanated out of the modern Babylon, the modern religious system. Yes, Babylon, meaning confusion, hundreds of sects and denominations. You've been born in it, you're in the grip of it. And you're going to have to flee and tear yourself loose from it or suffer the consequences. I mean you. These prophets said, go not after other gods and serve them. We're doing it in America, but we don't call it other gods. We call it by different names. And provoke me to anger, says God, with the works of your hands, and I will do you no hurt. You have not hearkened unto me, says the Eternal. That's God Almighty. That you might provoke me to anger with the works of your hands to your own hurt. Now, why does God try to turn you away from these things? Because God wants to punish you. Is God trying to turn you away from the good things? Is God trying to turn you away from that which is better for you? Well, that's what a lot of you think. That's what a lot of you think. These ways that God condemns that are hurting people, that are harming people, that are bringing curses upon people and damning their lives, and that the kind of thing that they can never completely erase and get rid of and get free from is a lot better. It's pretty alluring and pretty attractive. Some people are making their bed and they're going to have to lie in it. Are you one of those? Look about you. Most of the people you see on the streets today are in that boat. That's the way it is. That's the way people are today. God says, you're doing that kind of thing to your own hurt. You have ears to hear, you have a mind to think with and to reason with, and to know when the Word of God comes to you, but you don't listen, do you? Therefore, thus says the Eternal of Hosts, because you have not heard my words, and he says this to you today in the same way, I will send and take all the families of the north, saith the Eternal. Of course, this was specifically to the Jewish people 600 years before Christ. And I'll take Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, my servant. Now, why did God call that Gentile king his servant? I'll tell you why. It's because God Almighty is the supreme ruler of the universe. A lot of you people think, well, God isn't looking. God isn't going to hurt me. Is that so? Well, God's going to let a lot of you just hurt yourselves. God set laws in motion, and God hurts you by those laws when you do the wrong thing. And he blesses you by the same laws when you turn around to observe them and obey them. I know I've tried both ways, and I've had to suffer from my own folly until God shook me out of it and woke me up. I wish a lot of you people didn't have to suffer like I have. I don't have to anymore. I'm receiving all the blessings of God today, and I don't believe there's a man under heaven. I don't believe there's a man on the face of the earth that is more blessed today than I am. I know what I'm talking about. I have lived as few men have lived. Not very many of you listening to me have ever lived as I have. I've been around over this world a great deal. I've known the great and the near great. I've hobnobbed around and known the multimillionaires, the big business executives, college professors. I've known the poor people, all kinds of laboring people, every class of person I think that there is. I've attended royal receptions. I've been in some of the poorest circumstances and among the poorest people that you could find. I know what life is. I've seen what this world offers. And in my earlier days, I participated in a lot of it to my own hurt until I got awake and learned my lesson. Yes, some of you think this world's a pretty good place. You think God isn't listening. Well, that's one reason that God has ordained. We are free moral agents. We have to learn a lot of things by experience. You have to burn your fingers and burn them good sometimes before you can learn that the stove is hot. Remember, I've told you before, my wife did that once. Literally, I mean. Yes, literally. Well, God is the supreme ruler of the universe, and Nebuchadnezzar was on that throne because God himself put him there and permitted him to be there. That's why God calls Nebuchadnezzar his servant. And it was God that caused Nebuchadnezzar to come down and invade Judah because they had to be punished. And God more than once, my friends, has used sinful, heathen, pagan, Gentile rulers to punish his people. And God will use evil things to wake up some of his people to the evil and bring you to the good things. Now, he did that personally with me. He's done it personally with a good many other people that I know. But why will you die? Why do you want to suffer? Why don't you turn from those ways while you can before it's too late? Well, God says here, behold, I'll take of the families of the north, and this Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, my servant, God says, and I'll bring them against this land of Judah, and against the inhabitants thereof, the Jewish people, and against these nations round about. And I will utter, and he was speaking of the nations around, in that case, Ascalon even, and Ashdod, and the Philistines over there on the coast, and nations like that around. He says, we'll utterly destroy them and make them an astonishment and a hissing and a perpetual desolation. Palestine has been that too, incidentally. Moreover, he says, I'll take from them the voice of mirth and the voice of gladness and the voice of the bridegroom and the voice of the bride and the sound of the millstone and the light of the candle. This is specifically to Judah 600 years before Christ. But my friends, there are other prophecies that say that God is going to take those same things away from the United States. And it's going to happen inside of 15 to 18 years, and I think in less than that. You have your crooning and your wailing and your dirges and your moaning and the music that you people seem to love and like today. That's the kind of music people like. Maybe you have a little bit of joyful music. Well, it's all going to go. You aren't going to be doing it 15 or 18 years from now. And I'm telling you, and I'm not sticking my neck out. I know whereof I speak. I'm speaking by the authority of God Almighty and the authority of the Word of God, and I want to tell you that it carries authority. Well, he said he'd take all of those things away from them, and this whole land shall be a desolation and an astonishment, and these nations shall serve the king of Babylon 70 years. And they did, and it was precisely 70 years, too. That happened exactly as Jeremiah had said. And it shall come to pass when the 70 years are accomplished that I will punish the king of Babylon and that nation, saith the Eternal, for their iniquity and the land of the Chaldeans, and will make it a perpetual desolation. And that happened, and Babylon was finally completely destroyed. For thus saith the Lord Eternal of Israel unto me, take the wine cup, I'm in verse 15 now, take the wine cup of his fury into my hand and cause all the nations to whom I send thee to drink it. And then he comes on down a little later here, verse 31, how in our time today, now the time element comes down to today and all the nations of the world, a noise shall come even to the ends of the earth, for the Eternal has a controversy with the nations, and he'll plead with all flesh. And evil will go forth from nation to nation. And then he says something about the ministers, the preachers. That's talking of what's going to come in our time, and I'll have to save that until tomorrow's program to go into that on the very next program in this series. Now we're coming down to something for our time. And then we turn over here just a page or two, and we come to the 30th chapter of Jeremiah, and there is an astounding prophecy for the United States today, and not for Judah 600 years ago. God does not change. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The handwriting is on the wall of America now. You better not take chances. You'd better not be ostrich. You'd better wake up. You people would be stunned if you could see the startling significance behind today's headlines and what is coming on our nation. So until next time, this is Herbert W. Armstrong saying goodbye, friends.
You have heard The World Tomorrow with Herbert W. Armstrong.